Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of Relationship Radio. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
I was actually being interviewed on NBC's Today Show. It was a lady sitting next to me who was a counselor, and I was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked me the question, is it possible to help save a marriage when only one spouse wants to do so? To which, very quickly, the person to my right, the counselor, said, no, you have to have two to tango. You can't do it with one. To which I said, well, we've helped people all the time do it, where only one spouse wants to save the marriage, and now the marriage is saved, and they're doing very well and living a good life. And that kind of upset the counselor, and she said, well, that means you're better at this than I am. And, of course, I'm a polite Southern gentleman, so I didn't reply in any shape, fashion, or form to that. You're saying, wait a minute, are you saying really just one person can save a marriage? I'm telling you that one person can do the things that puts the marriage on the path to be saved. Yes. And that it's not just some wild claim. We have witnessed it more times than you can imagine. Would you like to know how? Hi, I'm Dr. Joe Beam. This is Kimberly Beam Holmes, our CEO at Marriage Helper. You have seen it so many times.
Oh, so many times.
So how does it work?
Yes. It works through the 7-step process that we've created on how to rescue your marriage. And we created this process by looking backwards at the thousands of couples that we've worked with, the thousands of people, even before we worked with them as couples, and said, what was it that we did? What was it that our team did to help guide them through what we teach that worked so well in helping them to save their marriage? And so we have these 7 steps. We've talked about them on the podcast before, but it's always worth repeating. And the first 3 steps, actually the first 3.5 steps that we have in this 7-step process to save the marriage, are the things that the spouse can do by themselves, as you said, to put the marriage on the trajectory to turn it around. Half of the steps can be done as one person. And the first step is to calm down. Now, the reason that we've included this as a step is because how many times have you seen where the spouse who is scared of the marriage ending does some pretty crazy things to try and get their spouse to stay with them?
Either out of their fear that this marriage is going to be lost, and therefore that anxiety leads them to do or say things that are not very good, or because of their anger. Yeah. I'm so mad at him or her right now, and that leads them to say or do things that are not going to help at all. So, yeah, until they calm down, they probably aren't going to hear what they need to hear, and they're in all likelihood are not going to do what they need to do.
Right. I think of one of our coaches and her talking about, well, their story is one of our testimonials, Ren and Adele, and how when she found out that he was having an affair, she took all of his, he was a musician,
yeah.
And she took all of his expensive studio equipment and threw it into the pool.
Oh, no.
In their backyard. Thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Wow.
Anger.
Yeah.
Fear of what's to come, all of those things. But did that, was that the best decision in moving forward to help save the marriage?
I would not typically recommend that.
No, it's probably going to push the person further away. We can understand why she did it, but was it the best thing? So that's why that first step is you need to calm down, get control of your emotions, not because we're saying you need to bottle up your emotions and not feel them, but we need to really have you have a healthy way to vent those emotions to someone who isn't your spouse, so that when you are interacting with your spouse, you're coming from a more calm, level-headed as can be. We're not asking you to be a superhero here, but as level-headed as you can be to actually be able to have clarity on what the real situation is.
Mm-hmm. Which is step two, right?
That's right. Step two is to get clarity. It's difficult to get clarity when your mind is clouded with all of the feelings and hurt that you have. And it's hard to get clarity typically anyway by yourself, because typically we are going to see the situation we're in from our perspective and fill in the holes with the way we want the holes to be filled in. And so in an ideal situation, there would be someone like a marriage coach of ours who is helping really be that sounding board, that non-biased person who's looking at the marriage as the client and trying to see the full picture of really what could be going on. What are the core issues? And I typically tell the story here of one gentleman who came to us and his wife was in an affair and wanted out. And his first reaction and response was, I'm going to give her an ultimatum because she can either go with him or stay with me, but I'm going to give her, she has to choose. I'm not going to live like this. Well, when he worked with one of our coaches to get clarity on, let's just see why this is happening. What they found and what he began to realize was, I've actually been controlling her for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I give her this ultimatum, it's just going to further her heels in the sand of, this is why I'm leaving you in the first place, because you're incredibly controlling.
Right. When people don't have clarity, they often are just kind of lost. Mm. Like, I don't know what's going on. We hear it all the time. This came out of the blue. It caught me by surprise, or I think it's this, or I think it's that, and they start spending all their time trying to figure out exactly what is going on, and sometimes doing things that don't wind up being very helpful, such as snooping or hiring private detectives and things like that. We say, if you're ready to divorce and want the divorce, go ahead and hire the private detective or do the snooping. But if you really want to save the marriage, that's probably not going to be the right step, because if your spouse finds out, he or she is going to resent that tremendously and make things even worse. And you say, well, then how do we get clarity? Do you guys always know what's going on? We can ask you the questions. Our folks that work with us can ask you the questions to help narrow it down so that rather than worrying about everything out there, you can concentrate more on, okay, this is what I do now. Because when you don't know, you're not really sure what's going on, you're worried about everything. If we can help you focus, and which we will do our best to do, on, okay, let's look at what's really going on here, then you can begin to do the right actions, stop worrying yourself to death about everything else, and stop doing the wrong actions, which basically leads to step three.
Which is to stop the pushes and start the pulls. If you're a veteran to Marriage Helper, then these are not new concepts or terms to you. But if this is the first episode ever, you may be thinking, what in the world is this? We're not talking about physical pushes and pulls, but more so the emotional pushes and pulls. A push, as we define it, is anything that evokes a negative emotion in your spouse, while a pull is anything that evokes a positive emotion within your spouse. And when a marriage has more pushes in it, where you're evoking negative emotions within someone else based on how they interpret it, not based on how you're intending it to come across, but based on their interpretation of it, when a marriage has more of those pushes than the positive emotions, the pulls, then it tends to push people out the door. There's also another side of it, which is there could be an outside pull that's pulling your spouse away, but you don't have control over that. What you do have control over is you and your actions. So we need to help you feel, we need to help you realize what are the things that you do or have done that have been those pushes. How can you eliminate those, but then at the same time, increase or start doing the things that are going to evoke those positive emotions within the other person?
They may be thinking, but you're just telling me what I should do. I'm wanting you to tell my spouse what he or she should do. Well, if he or she's wanting out of the marriage, they're typically at this point not going to be listening to us because they're not listening to you. Why should they listen to us? So yes, we're talking about you changing you. But here's what you need to understand. In any relationship, if one person changes their behavior, even if they change their attitude, it will have an effect on the other person. And so these things are actually to change you, helping you become the best person you can possibly be. Now, we can be much more specific and give you a lot more information than we're giving in this general overview right here. But if you do these things, Kimberly, we have witnessed it how many times? I guess we have no count. That the person, the spouse who was leaving, and it was like, there's no hope. He doesn't care. She'll never come back. And yet we help people start going through this process of changing themselves. And all of a sudden, it appears, the other spouse now is paying attention.
Right. Absolutely. This happens so many times. And I would even venture to say, for the people who don't just learn about these steps, but do them, implement them, their behavior begins to change, that almost all of them come back and say, even if their spouse didn't come back for whatever reason, which a good many of them do, but they say, my life is different. My kids are different. My family is better. I'm a different person and I love who I am now. And it just makes a huge difference in their lives. Now, the fourth step, which...
Well, let's just say something about that here.
Yes.
Because you said something I want to make sure we clarify. Most people who do this will actually see a change in their spouse. Mm-hmm. It's the minority that do not see a change in their spouse.
Oh, right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, right. Absolutely. We just don't, I don't have the clear data on that. We haven't actually gotten that back from the people in the Save My Marriage program, which is where the people are really seeing huge success with this, because it's not in that Save My Marriage program. One of the things that we know, because really what we try and help people do at Marriage Helper is behavior change. How can you change your behavior? And there's many different aspects of behavior change that need to happen for it to stick within a person. And just learning about something typically is not going to be it.
No.
I mean, how many weight loss books are there out there?
I don't know. I've got 100 or two.
A whole shelf of them. Because that's, learning about it is a great foundation, but then who's going to help make sure that you're held accountable? Who's going to help you implement the parts of it that you have problems and questions with implementing when things get hard? And inside of our Save My Marriage program, we have ways that accountability is plugged in, that implementation is plugged in, so that people can actually see major results.
And so if you're thinking, well, wait a minute, you talked about me changing. Why doesn't he change? Why doesn't she change? Well, they're going to. If we're going to help you put the marriage back together, your spouse is going to change. But you can't make that happen. And if you try, it's going to backfire big time. If you say, well, it's just not fair, we agree. But it's still fair in this sense. As Kimberly just said, you'll become a better you. And that'll influence every relationship you have. And if the rest of the program doesn't work, if, God forbid, your husband or wife doesn't come back to you, you're going to be so much better prepared for the next relationship because you're going to be the best you can be. Now, we're not trying to set you up for your second marriage. We're saying if you do this, this is what one person can do to influence their spouse. Now, you don't do it just to influence your spouse, because if they don't react the way you want, you'll stop doing it. You're doing that, all of these things for you to be the best you can be, but at the same time with a specific hope and intent that it does have an effect on the spouse. And so what's the next one, Kimbo?
Mm-hmm. So the fourth step is to forgive and reconcile. Now, it's at this step that there's a fork in the road, because after forgiveness is when you do actually need the other person to come back and be a part of it, to at least explore the idea of coming back together in order to continue to reconcile the marriage, because reconciliation takes two. You can't reconcile your marriage without someone else, but you can forgive. And you need to. And that's something we talk a lot about in the Save My Marriage program as well. How do you forgive when you don't feel like it, when the person is still hurting you? Why should you forgive? All of those are very valid questions that we help people attack inside of the Save My Marriage program.
And we talk about that a great deal in our intensive three-day workshop. And people are kind of amazed to say, wait a minute, you're telling me the first and more important reason to forgive is for me?
Absolutely.
Yes, forgiveness has actually a much better blessing on the forgiver than on the forgiven. And so, yeah, we can't explain all that because we don't have time here. And so people, if they do these things, increase dramatically the likelihood that the spouse is going to respond in different ways than before, and that we can help both of you then get on the path of salvaging this marriage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We would love to help you get started with that. For our podcast listeners, you can actually experience the Save My Marriage program for 25% off for your first month, which is one of the biggest discounts, if not the biggest one we've ever offered. And you can take advantage of that by going to marriagehelper.com/podcast. And you can get all the information you need about that there. But ultimately, these seven steps is what we have seen work in the lives of thousands and thousands of people for over 24 years. And we believe that this process can work for you as well, because as we always say, if anything works, this will.
This will. Right. And actually, you say 24 years. We started the first work in 1994, so we're actually at 29 years.
Look at you.
Well, yeah, look at me. I'm old and decrepit. Been doing this 29 years, almost as long as you've been alive.
I know. Clearly, I haven't been doing it for 29 years. But this is actually my 11th year at Marriage Helper.
Awesome. Fantastic. Yeah. Please contact us. Please let us help you.
Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you on the next episode.
Thanks so much for listening to today's episode of Relationship Radio. If you enjoyed the episode, please consider sending it to a friend, a family member, a coworker, anyone who you think might need to hear it. If you scroll to the bottom of the show notes, you'll find any promos that were running at the time of your listening. Please consider subscribing to the podcast so you never miss an episode. And remember, there is always hope. We'll see you in the next episode.